This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Should Paul Skeens start in the All-Star game? Absolutely is leading at 78%. Maybe not. Is 22%. Well worded, Callis. We're at nearly 500 votes. I like how you worded that.
Yeah, I got to keep it interesting. You know, yes or no, you know, boring words.
Yes, they are. We are joined now by former Pirate Neil Walker. Neil, thanks for taking time here on this Monday. And we'll start right there. You played in the league. You would understand, I guess, if veterans would be like, hey, what's the deal? Should Paul Skeens start this All-Star game?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the word is out as far as Paul Skeens' ability and pitch arsenal and pitch ability. When you're talking about veterans and the All-Star game, certainly I think there will be some raised eyebrows to some capacity. But unless you were in the All-Star game and you hadn't yet seen Paul Skeens throw a pitch for some reason, maybe you were living under a rock, which is not the case. I'm sure everybody has at least seen him throw. You'd probably defer to the fact that he probably is one of, if not the best pitcher as far as arsenal and velocity and all those things combined. So, yeah, I think there's a great point to be made for him to start the All-Star game. I think it would be great not just for him and for the Pirates, but for all of baseball and highlighting their assets. And I keep going back to, at least in my brain, to Mike Trout in his prime and how, Major League Baseball didn't necessarily do the best job of putting him on as their poster child, and you wonder if Paul Skeens is kind of in that same realm from a pitching perspective of, well, he's not necessarily in a huge market, but should we do what we can to promote not just him but to put him on a pedestal and somewhat make him the poster child for all of baseball.
You know, when Pirates drafted Skeens, we all knew he could throw 100, 102 pretty much consistently. But there's more to pitching than just throwing 102. Is that surprised you of how quickly he's become a pitcher, which means using the other pitches at different situations, and how unusual that is for a guy of, 10 starts in his major league career?
Yeah, I would certainly say it's been surprising, and not from the sheer fact that you see the velocity, you see the arsenal, the five pitch mix, but you're also wondering, because in most instances, I remember Garrett Cole being called up as a 1-1 in 2013, and thinking to myself, well, you know the stuff is there, he's got the wipeout slider and the upper 90s on the fastball, but the league will adjust. And when the league does adjust, or as pitchers, you know, sometimes you hear guys say, oh, I didn't have it in the bullpen. And you're like, really? Like, what do you mean you didn't have it in the bullpen? And they go out there.
Oh, I think we lost Neil there for a second. So we'll try to get him back. He's on the Fan Hotline, yep. presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Go ahead, Neil. Sorry.
Oh, did I lose you guys?
Yep, we got you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. To get back to Mark's point, I think you think about how he's approaching the game by game situation and lineup constructions, and you hear sometimes guys say, "Well, I didn't have it in the bullpen." Well, this guy is not having to go to his third best pitch when he doesn't necessarily have it in the bullpen. He's going to his fourth or fifth best pitch at times. Not only is he able to, not only does he have the stuff to do that, but he has the pitch ability to execute. So I think that's what makes him so special to this point through 10 starts of his career.
Brian Reynolds has had a special month plus. He has been an offensive leader for the Pirates for years, and it probably takes you to another level when you get to a second All-Star game. What really impresses you about Brian Reynolds, Neil?
Well, he's just steady. I mean, he's in my opinion, he's just the epitome of a baseball player. You know, he switch hits, he plays good defense, he hits in the middle, you know, second, third in that order, usually second in most instances. He's being relied upon to get on base. He's being relied upon to score runs and drive runs in. And he's capable of all those things. And when you look at the actual swing from both sides of the plate, it's not what you would consider a modern type of swing. It's much more handsy. It's a little more rigid, as most switch hitters are. But at the end of the day, when he gets going, in this instance now, you know, especially starting going into June, he's been swinging the bat well for both sides of the plate. So it's not like you can in the value of having a quality switch hitter in the middle of your lineup. You know, you think back to those 2008, 2009 Yankees teams that had, you know, Teixeira and Jorge Posada. They were so difficult to navigate for opposing managers to try to figure out, especially middle, late part of the game. And we're seeing that. We're seeing teams trying to bring lefties in to get him off of his rhythm, and they're not able to do it. So, you know, more than anything, Brian Reynolds is just a steady, steady baseball player. And we saw him kind of go through it in April and May, and all of a sudden the calendar switched to June, and it was like, you know, he put the rocket boosters on and he's off to the races.
Neil, it looks like Jared Jones is going to be out for a little bit of time. If it was up to you, who needs to take that spot? Who do you think should be inserted into that pitching role in the minors or even within the team to be able to make up for his loss?
Oh man, yeah, it's kind of tough, especially when you saw Bailey Falter leave the game the other day. At least I was racking my brain, going, "Well, Marco Gonzalez is on the mend, Quinn Priester's on the mend. Ortiz has done a really nice job in the role he's been asked to do. Do you want to try to kind of flip the script with him and say, hey, you're going to be throwing every fifth day now, as opposed to being somewhat of a higher leverage?" Middle long relief type guy that can spot start at times. But I think, you know, it almost feels like at least from now, dating back to before Jones got hurt, you're sitting there looking, going, man, we got to win series. We got to find ways to especially take care of business at home and maybe just try to go 500 on the road and climb back into this thing, being, you know, whatever it is, 7, 8, 9 games behind the Brewers now. So you've almost gone from you know, thriving to surviving and hoping that this, you know, hoping you get Bednar back here in short order, hoping that if Priester or Marco Gonzalez is throwing the ball well, do they slide right back into the rotation, even though they'll probably be on some sort of pitch limit? You know, it's certainly getting to nut cutting time here, and you wonder if Ben Cherington has a something up his sleeve as far as, you know, bringing somebody in on a trade or what the case may be. But, you know, I like for the time being Ortiz being going every fifth day to because he's just done such a great job. And you would have to assume once, you know, once either one of Gonzalez or Priester is ready physically, that they will probably slide into a spot And, you know, they obviously have the All-Star game coming up, which is four days of off time. So I don't know. You feel like they shouldn't be thinking about treading water and just kind of trying to stay where they're at until guys get back. But that's just the reality of where things are at right now for the Pirates.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. We're joined by Neil Walker, Jeff Hathorn, Mark Boley from The Athletic, in for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson. It seems like, I mean, Ke'Bryan Hayes had a couple of hits, had a loud out. Jack Suwinski over the last week or so seems to have locked in. His timing seems better. Do you see those same things? Do you see that there is some potential for those guys to maybe help raise the level of consistency from this offense?
Yeah, and I think coming into the season, you somewhat hope that both of the guys you mentioned, especially Jack and Ke'Bryan, the things that they do. We know Jack kind of has been somewhat of a low average, high slugging and high on base type of guy, a modern baseball type of player more than a lot of guys, if you will. And Ke'Bryan Hayes almost on the other end of the spectrum, guy that makes a ton of contact. He sprays the ball around the yard. He can we see him use the four hole a lot with two strikes and with runners in scoring position. And, you know, it wasn't until last year, right around this time, that we saw Ke'Bryan really, really take off. So you hope that in some sense of the order that might be the case with him, because we're just not seeing him lift the ball. We're not seeing, like you said, Jeff, we're seeing him hit balls hard. You know, we're seeing him hit a lot of balls on the ground and on a line, which is what we've become accustomed to seeing from him. But at the same time, you know, as a corner guy, a corner infielder, a corner outfielder, you have to have some sort of slugging in there. So, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd like to, in a really, really good Pirates lineup, you'd love to see those guys somewhat hidden from the sixth spot down, whether it's 6-7 or 7-8, because those are the guys that you can't take for granted when they're going well. But at the same time, you know, if you're kind of relying on both of those guys to be huge run producers on a day in and day out, that just hasn't necessarily been their skill set to this point. But like you said, Jack gets hot at times. We're seeing him run a couple balls out of the ballpark on a series-to-series basis. You know, the swing and miss is going to be there. And for Ke'Bryan Hayes, he starts to get hot and he starts to find some holes and hitting some doubles here and there. And then all of a sudden you see him start lifting balls. Then you got something to work with to go along with the, you know, the resurgence of Rowdy Tellez and as well as Brian Reynolds swinging the bat. But like we said before, you know, the time is now. If there's any time that this Pirates offense should get going, it's now, just based on where the Pirates are from a pitching perspective, both from the starters and relievers.
Okay, Neil, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You got to answer this truthfully. two-part question. How many touchdown passes does Russell Wilson throw this year, and what's the Steelers' record?
Oh man. I got the Steelers around 10 wins this year, okay? I'm somewhat of a go to the grave optimistic Steelers fan, so you'll rarely hear or see me go underneath that double digit win column. And you know, you hope that we get the form of rust that we saw in Seattle several years ago, which is probably not the reality, but I like the thought of him and the animals and arsenal around him on the offensive side of things. So if I had to put a number on it, I'd say 25 touchdowns from Russ.
There we go.
So here's your chance, Neil. I mean, you see all these takes, all these opinions from Mark. Mark's right here. What's one that's really bothered you? I mean, you know, there's got to be takes.
What, about
Mark's
the Pirates or the Steelers?
No, about the Steelers.
Oh man, no! You know, Mark is really good.
Well, we know you're lying now.
I do like his content, and you know what, Mark doesn't get caught up with the highs and lows in a long baseball season, a long football season. You got to find a way to ride the wave and somewhere in between. So I appreciate Mark for this.
No, that's called being old and doing it for 20 some old years. That's what that's called.
Neil, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Great talking to you. Have a great week.
All right. Neil Walker, here on the Fan Morning Show. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll get into more Buccos through the rest of the hour here. Kevin Gorman is going to join us.
With his flow.
You're getting him on serious flow.
You're getting him on the camera, right?
No, because he'll be driving
into
the stadium.
I want to see the flow. You got the massive
Buccos
flow.
Take on the Mets at 12:35.
We also have a not-so-surprise guest, by the way, too. Dan Zangrilli. He's usually scheduled this hour, so he's going to join us next, if that's okay.
Okay. We'll do that next.
Let him ask Gormy the Owl some questions.
We continue. It's a Fan Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrate Christmas in July with us, Odyssey and the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh, HARP. We invite you to stuff the doghouse July 13th and 14th. That's coming up. Drive through and donate pet supplies at HARP's north side and east side locations and help make a difference for our furry friends. Items to donate include dry dog and puppy food, treats, and more. Visit the events page at 93.7thefan.com for the full list. We are now joined by Pirates pre- and post-game show host, or will be soon.
Almost there. I'm getting them on.
Dan Zangrilli. Dan is brought to you by the injury lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, Western Pennsylvania injury lawyers for over 90 years. LGKG.com. Of course, Dan has seen a lot of baseball. He's seen a lot of Paul Skeens, a lot of Brian Reynolds over his career. And he's actually joining us from vacation, Mark.
Talk about dedication.
He's going to be taking a few days off.
Unless he's just, this is his all-star break.
And then he gets a little all-star break, so a little time to to recharge the batteries with Dan and his couple of kids. So it's a cool thing
for
him.
I remember back in the early 90s when Bob Walk made the didn't make the All-Star game. It was Bob Walk was pitching for the Pirates, and All-Star break saw him at Kennywood. So that was his.
Saw Bob Walk at Kennywood,
like in the early.
What was he
90s,
in line during, for?
I can't remember. Once again, I can't remember what happened yesterday. I just remember Bob Walk was at Kennywood during the All-Star break.
Is there anything as like summer's potato patch fries? Like
I haven't been to Kennywood in so long.
There's a smell. It's like just being at Kennywood, there's just something that you instantly
I just took the kids to Hershey Park and I literally rode the monorail. That was it. I mean, you know you're getting old when only thing you're riding is the monorail.
Yeah, that's like getting on the train.
And I was like I'm like the old guy. You remember Kennywood, the old people would just sit on the bench and just sit there. I would do that right now if
like Grandpa
possible.
Joe.
Yeah, I would do that. Grandpa Joe Rutter.
No, everybody gets your picture with Grandpa Joe. Isn't that the dude that was on the
cowboy?
The Cowboy Joe.
Okay. If Grandpa Joe, cowboy I'm thinking Joe. You're talking about Rutter.
Sorry. Oh, wow. Dan is with us now. And are you going to Kennywood at all during your break, Dan?
You know, that's a good question. I probably should. A couple years ago, Did the season pass for the little guy? Because he was, what, about three? So that's a really good value, not to sit here and sell you amusement park tickets, but I think it had like a combination of Kennywood, Sandcastle, and Idlewild. So maybe. Maybe.
Dan, you sound like a gravy type of guy on your potato patch fries.
Oh, how about gravy and cheese, Mark?
I'm just strictly cheese. Well, I'm not going gravy.
Sometimes the cheese could get a little thick, but then you can sort of thin it out with a little gravy, and then it just creates some sort of combination that is very Pittsburgh.
Don't they have a potato patch ride now or something to that effect?
I don't know. I haven't kept up.
There you go. Go and report back to us, Dan.
This is true.
Dan, were you surprised that Paul Skeens was named an All-Star?
No, not really. I think Major League Baseball, I mean, just on merit alone, let's talk about the baseball ability and how he's kind of taken the league by storm. So there's that storyline. But I think baseball is very much paying attention to what happened with the NFL and the benefit that Taylor Swift brought to the league and the whole Travis Kelce dynamic of a power couple. And I'm not necessarily comparing Livy Dunn to Taylor Swift here, but I'm sure that a lot of the marketing folks at Major League Baseball, the social media folks in Major League Baseball are saying that, and this is a really powerful, powerful asset, Livy Dunn, to be able to help drive our game. There was an article, I think, in the Sports Business Journal, even the Post-Gazette did something about these politically themed Skeens Jones 24 type of election shirts that Livy Dunn, just because she wore it, sales went up 1,400%. So, yeah, there's that element of it as well. So as Skeens is throwing on the mound, over under 2.5 camera shots towards Livy Dunn. What do you guys say?
Over.
So
let's hope it's over.
She's a great conduit to the TikTok and Snapchat crowd, I think, and Skeens is very popular in that space as well, just from a social cultural subject as well. So that's probably a motivating factor as much as anything.
I think she should play in the All-Star game. I mean, the All-Star softball All-Star game before that, but that's just me. I mean, Dan, you know Mitch Keller very well. How do you think he took not making it? Because I think you look at his stats and how consistent, for the most part, he's been. He was deserving as well, but it makes sense that Skeens goes over him. But how do you think Keller takes that? I know he made it last year, but do you think he's a little disappointed?
Probably to a certain extent. It's kind of hard just with the numbers, the dominant stuff that Skeens has. I would think that he gets it, Mark, that, hey, there's only so many arms and so many slots, and Mitch Keller is a lot of things that you mentioned, but he's not Paul Skeens. So I think that, you know, and Derek Shelton said it on his radio pregame show yesterday, that there's a lot of people that the Pirates have that are deserving. And I think that he was talking primarily about Keller, because as he was giving the interview, I'm pretty sure he had a pretty good indication of who was going to go, and they were embargoing the news. So, yeah, I would think disappointed but not ticked, if that makes sense.
Dan, it seems like with Jared Jones down, Bailey Falter now going to miss some time. You go to Milwaukee, you got Philly on the schedule, and you've got the deadline at the bottom of the, you know, at the end of the month. This seems like, I mean, this week is huge for whether the Pirates are indeed in this race or not.
Yeah, and that's assuming that they're in it here. Jeff, they're going to have to really roll off and check off a number of wins, and I just don't see a pathway forward or the propensity to do what they did on Friday night on a fairly consistent basis, which made yesterday's game so infuriating. I mean, 5 games under .500, right? That's just too big of a hole facing what you just laid out. So they better get busy. Starting today at 12:35, and then against the teams that you just mentioned, do you have to win 5 of 6? Probably.
And you can't stumble against the White Sox.
That's a great point, too. So, I mean, for the first time all year, you're in a basically must win a lot of games in a row. And with a lineup and a bullpen, with all three phases in the game, with offense, pitching, and relief pitching having to come together overnight, the chances aren't very good. Crazier things have happened. I don't think anybody had Friday night occurring the way that it did against the pitcher that it did. But, yeah, big, big uphill climb. And unfortunately, I'm not showing a pathway forward.
Dan, next Monday you'll talk to the real hosts of the Fan Morning Show.
What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean?
That means that Adam and Dorn will be back.
Well, I kind of like you and Kabali. This is a good thing going here. So
there we go. We're kicking them out there, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't
think
so. Forget
Crowley and Dickerson.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, enjoy it. Thanks for coming on this morning. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Dan Zangrilli brought to you by the Injury Lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, Western Pennsylvania Injury Lawyers for over 90 years, LGKG.com. We continue Kevin Gorman from the Tribune Review. We continue this Pirates Hour. Here is the Bucks take on the Mets. Last game of the homestand, last game of the series, coming up at 12:35 over on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're joined by Kevin Gorman of the Tribune Review. Thanks for joining us again, Kevin. Although, a very special treat here as Mark Kabali is in studio with us.
Mark Kabali's favorite Pirates player is Jack Sawinski and the Parrot.
You know it. And my favorite team is what? The Portview Bulldogs, 8-and-under, champs.
So you have to explain quick. Explain that what he just said about Jack Sawinski and the Parrot.
Well, my son, he's 7, and he likes Jack Sawinski. So my sister-in-law made him a jersey that said, because he once said this, my two favorite Pirates are Jack Sawinski and the Pirate Parrot. So he wore that to the Pirate game the other day. Gormy was there, came. I talked to him. He took a picture, showed Jack Sawinski, and I guess Jack Sawinski wanted to know where he could purchase one. I might be able to handle that for you, Jack.
Yeah, Jack Sawinski told me it had to be custom made, and I said, they might be selling them in the strip. He said, I can guarantee you they're not.
What was your surprise or not surprise that Paul Skeens was named to the All-Star game?
No, I thought it was a no-brainer. I thought that was something baseball needed to do. You have a guy that is a rookie sensation, who's the talk of the sport, with his meteoric rise to, you know, leading LSU to the national championship, being the number one overall pick, surpassing his teammate Dylan Cruz, who was kind of the consensus guy, and Skeens, you know, run in the postseason last year really changed that narrative. And then goes from number one pick to making his major league debut 10 months later, and his 5-0 through 10 starts is electrifying, you know, the crowds. I think this is what baseball needed to do, is have him in that game. And it's pretty amazing when you find out that he's the first number one overall pick to be in the All-Star game the following year. That kind of gives you an idea of what type of a historic run we're watching here. But I think the bigger question now becomes, should he be the starter?
And
I don't think so. I mean, I understand, you know, for the must-see TV part of it. And I certainly think there is an element to everyone who watches that game, myself included, that would love to see Paul Skeens face a American League lineup that has, let's just say, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Jose Ramirez, and Vlad Guerrero in the top five. And to see him kind of go through that order the way that he did. The Dodgers, I think it was on June 5th when he had to face, you know, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman, and struck them all out, not in succession, but struck all three of the former MVPs out. So, I mean, I think people want to see that. I think this is a showcase event, and that's the spectacle in the showcase. But I also think there's some guys that are very deserving of that honor, maybe more so than Paul Skeens, just because of their body of work in the first half and their careers.
I don't know, Gormy. If it was up to me, I don't care if he starts or not, but like, I think you hit it on it perfect. Have him come in somehow. I don't care. Call timeout, whatever. Whenever the Judge, the Guerreros, Altuve, whoever, Soto comes up, I want to see it against those guys. Because that is must-see TV right there. But
I think if you have, you know, Chris Sale or Tyler Glass now, or even Ranger Suarez, if one of those guys is the starter, and no offense to the other guys, but you name one of them the starter, and the second time around the order, you bring in Paul Skeens, whether that's the third or fourth inning, you know, all of a sudden you've got your audience staying in, knowing that Skeens is pitching at some point. And maybe, you know, they're not tuning out after the first time through the order. Maybe they want to watch a little deeper into the game. Or, no offense to any of the closers, but imagine Paul Skeens coming in the ninth inning with the game, you know, very tight like it was when David Bednar pitched the ninth a couple years ago. There's a lot of ways you can get eyeballs on that game and on TV sets by deploying Paul Skeens in a certain way.
Kevin, before we ask another question about the Pirates, I think one of the cool stories in the entire All-Star game is a Pittsburgh native and Mason Miller to be in there, what he's dealt with, what he overcame. I mean, that's pretty amazing that this kid, and the fact that he's able to have that success with, you know, one of the worst teams in the game in front of him, what an accomplishment for him.
Yeah, I mean, to think that this guy, you know, I think he played the bulk of his college career at Waynesburg, right, Division III school. And it kind of shows you just that, you know, when you have the talent and the work ethic and you can put them all together, that there's, you know, you can find superstars anywhere. It doesn't have to be, you know, at the top of the draft, like a Paul Skeens. You know, David Bednar's proof of that. I think he was a, you know, mid 30th round pick, who came out of Lafayette. You know, it doesn't have to be, a traditional powerhouse program or a guy who's, you know, at the very top of the draft, although they're more likely. But certainly, you know, when you think about Mason, that Bethel Park team, I don't know if they were on the team at the same time, but they all came through the program kind of around the same time, but had, you know, a couple Pirates farmhands. Justin Mice, is one that was a teammate of his, and then Magdi Alcoto, who was a draft pick for the Pirates last year, also came up through that time. I'm not sure if he was a teammate of Mason's, but he came through right around the same time. And so, that, you know, that's a pretty impressive group to have, you know, come through Bethel Park High School. So that's a wild thing. And I think it's very deserving. You know, I think it's not just because, the A's need to have a representative. I think this is a guy who, as another guy who's living in above the 100-mile-per-hour mark. And when you're tossing triple digits, I think you're the type of guy that people want to see, especially at the end of an All-Star game.
Gormley, I don't know if you know this, but he once struck out Harry Callis.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
They were teammates at Waynesburg.
He struck him out. And Callis.
I was celebrating a little, too, because I work in Bethel Park now, and I've covered the team this season. So, like Bethel Park. And Mason, of course, yeah.
So. Well, Gormley, I want to get back to the current team here. I guess the Pirates obviously need some offense, right? Where do they find it at? I think they need to find it within the current lineup right now. If there was one guy you would look at the starting, whatever, 9, 10, 11 guys they switch in and out, who would that guy that needs to elevate his level of play that has the capability to do this, to be able to grab this team and carry it to the next level? Is there one guy that sticks out to you?
I mean, Odell Cruz is the obvious choice. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, when he's on, is as talented as anyone in the game. And there's a little bit of a boomer bust, you know, storyline with him, and that he's, you know, he kind of goes through his funks or his lots of strikeouts. But, you know, the majestic home runs that he hits, he's put a couple on the river already. He's certainly a guy that could carry this team. But I'll go a step further and say the guy that could really be a catalyst for this team and is so much more has been expected of him, and I thought he'd take a step forward and be an all-star this season, is Ke'Bryan Hayes. And if they can get him right, if they can get him hitting as a gap-to-gap guy, I don't expect him to be a 25-homer guy, but if he can put up 15 home runs and 75 RBIs and bat, you know, somewhere between 275 and 300 and play gold glove caliber defense in the second half, I think that could really spark this team, because I think the Pirates desperately want Ke'Bryan Hayes to be one of their franchise cornerstones. They locked him up long-term. You know, he showed that he was a gold glove caliber guy 2 years ago, or even 3 years ago. He finally got his first last year, but I think he should have at least one platinum glove, if not two. That's how good defensively he's been. But this season, you know, the back problems, I think he's added a little extra weight on him. He has just not looked like himself. And you can't have a guy like Key Brian Hayes be having a down year, a guy like O'Neill Cruz not quite living up to his potential, and then having, you know, Jack Sawinski, Yasmani Grandal, Michael A. Taylor having their struggles. You can't have a lineup full of that. You have to have some consistency, and I think Brian Reynolds has showed the way in terms of, you know, being a constant presence in the lineup and a consistent presence at the plate. And I think some of the other guys have to start to follow his lead.
Kevin, last one. I know you got to get in for pregame interviews before the Bucks and Mets, 12:35 over on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. This would seem to be a monster week. I mean, you go to Milwaukee, then you go to the White Sox, an opportunity potentially to gain some ground there, and then you get Philly when you come home. I mean, if you're a contender, it would seem like you got to really show something this week.
No doubt. I was just looking this up. Last year, the Pirates won 8-16 in July. They were 11-15 in June. This year, you know, 14-12 in June. So far, 2-4 in July. They need to have a big July. They need to show to the front office and the ownership that they can be a contender and that they are worthy of being buyers at the trade deadline. Because so far, they've given the front office no reason. You know, the players have. The fans are certainly basically begging the team to go out and add a bat or add whatever they need to become a contender, and saying, you know, you're only 4.5 games out despite being 5 games under 500. So certainly this is a huge week for the Pirates. This is a huge month for the Pirates because, you know, I feel like there's been some patience with this turnover in the front office and the managerial staff, that the Pirates fans have said, okay, we're going to do a complete rebuild. They're going to draft high. They're going to bring in some guys. And now those guys are here, and now it's time for the Pirates to perform. And so this isn't just, you know, blame the front office or blame the coaching staff. This is a widespread problem for the Pirates if they fall flat on their face in the month of July and don't give the team any reason to do anything but sell the guys who are on one-year deals and take the wind out of the sails once again. This is a team that should be playing into August and September with the idea of contending for a wild card spot because it is wide open.
Kevin, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. We'll see you down at the park.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Gorman, Kevin,
some fabulous hair. Fabulous.
Yes, he does.
You know what he does?
Yes,
he uses juices and berries on it. Harry Callis does not have the reference.
That'll be $10. One of the best movie scenes.
Nothing more than ultra perm.
He beat Joe Louis's. We're going to come back with social media's biggest loser. We'll find out who that is. And then Mark's got to get down to Yinzer's to sell that T-shirt idea. My favorite Pirates, Jack Sawinski and the Parrot.
That's about... I might agree with him.
Jeff Hathorn, Mark Caboli, and for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson on the Fan Morning Show. Social media's biggest loser.
I have. So, the Mets announcers, I guess, weren't familiar with the furries. And they're going down the Allegheny, minding their own business. They're on a boat. And the Mets announcers said this on the broadcast of the Pirates-Mets game.
I mean, they're all out in the sun in those very warm costumes.
I understand. And they smell.
Kind of like the area near our truck. They put our production truck right next to the dumpster.
That's not very kind. So the Mets
announcers. The Mets. Muck them.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What?
Yes. You know the muck the Fets.
Harry Callis going to dump that, right? You know what? I was on Route 51 the other day, and somebody was riding a motorcycle down the street, and he had his furry hat on. I'm thinking
while
that might
riding?
Not be very safe. His furry, unless it was Doran. Doesn't Doran dress up like that?
Well,
You never heard that story back in the day?
You showed off today as a multimedia. I mean, we're rolling through baseball topics right there.
Oh, I can talk about anything, man.
Did a little Steeler take. And then the 9 o'clock hour went from one guest to three in a hurry.
And Neil Walker knew who I was.
How about that? And he likes your stuff.
Nah, that's just people don't know.
No, he followed. He likes your stuff. He knew.
Yeah, that's
he
like,
knew that you have a steady take through the span of a season.
That's
for the
like
most part.
Meeting some old guy at Walmart, and he goes, I like your stuff. I'm like, dude, you've never read it. What are you talking about? There's no way. But
how many times in a span of a week do you get, you're that dude on TV?
It mostly comes from the pump show.
That's what I mean.
It's unbelievable. The pump, the nightly sports call is just, not nightly sports call, was it number one Cochrane Showdown? Unbelievable. I mean, you have to be a 75 or older to watch it, but my goodness, they are on it. I thought they'd go to sleep by then. I mean, it's constant. I don't know about you. Hey, you're on that pump show. I remember the other day I was walking outside of Sheets and some old guy stopped me. He goes, yeah, that I like you and that kid, that other kid from Beaver Falls. I'm like, kid, what? Oh, Pompiani. I'm like, oh, well, Pompiani's a kid. I love it.
I had a guy come up to me with a Pitt shirt on, and I thought, okay, this is going to be about Pitt stuff, and it was. And he's like, listen, I like what you're doing. I'm like, thanks, but you got to stop pumping all the Penn State stuff. I know you went to Penn State. You got to stop with all the Penn really? State love on social media. But other than that, I love your stuff, Eric. He thought it was Hagman.
Oh, that's terrible.
And which is great because Eric is unbelievable. But he thought I did all the Penn stuff. And he's like, why are you putting all this Penn State stuff up?
Imagine if he found out you went to the Ohio State.
Well, I told him. He's like, well, where did you go to school? I said, Ohio State. He's like, oh. And then he kind of walked away. Well,
people are always nice to your face. And you go on Twitter and check your mentions. And you're like, oh, geez.
Oh, there's always that. There's always that stuff.
Let's not look at this.
Our thanks to Neil Walker, to Dan Zangrilli, to Kevin Gorman, and Mark, for you for coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning to join us on the Fan Morning Show. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Anything for a hardworking son of a gun like you.
Nicholas Herakalos, three great days. Appreciate all of your hard work. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy summer drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 91, low of 67. Tomorrow, high of 93.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.